Good morning.
Good morning.
I apologize for the slight increase in set of time here. The printer decided that a half page or the first page of my notes would be enough. But I didn't get angry, so. There we go. All right. It is an honor to be in front of you to present a lesson. I'm so thankful and encouraged by each and every one of your presence here this morning. It was several months ago, around the time that the weather got nice, that Savannah and I had a friend that came to visit us. And she's not very familiar with Lexington, so we wanted to just go out and have a bite to eat, preferably somewhere outside. So we chose a restaurant that'll remain nameless, because as you can tell by the title of the slide, it didn't go great. However, they had a nice outdoor area, and the cuisine on the menu is mainly hot dogs. So, you know, sounds like a pleasant evening. We waited a while, no big deal. It's Friday evening, it's Lexington. We enjoyed one another's company. We get sat down. The waitress is very candid about things that they've run out of and things that she doesn't like on the menu, so that was nice. She was gone after that. That was okay. A few half-hearted apologies later about how long the food was taking and a trip into the restaurant to ask that it's been about an hour. It's hot dogs. Yeah, I think we can get there, right? To a manager who didn't look a day over 15 years old to come and tell us that, you know, apologizing, saying that we're going to take things off the bill, no big deal. We're all squared away. That's great. Well, to the bill coming and not many things being taken off the bill, we needed to leave, and that was fine. We paid and left, and I, at the time, had been trying to rein in any sort of feelings of anger. I struggle, as we'll talk momentarily, in the vehicle, you know, getting cut off, things like that. And I thought that anger should only be for a scriptural reason, so to speak. So as we're walking out of the restaurant, I'm thinking to myself that I have a choice, that I can carry on and I can be mad about the poor service and somewhat ruin the rest of the evening, or, and now as we use in our household, I decided that I wasn't going to get angry about hot dogs. So now from time to time, if you would to hear Savannah and I say, in a moment of frustration, it kind of centers us back that we don't get angry about hot dogs, right? So, to address anger, is that to first point out that it's a natural occurring emotion. Anger is okay in itself. It just defined, it's a strong feeling of annoyance or displeasure and can move into hostility. But everyone experiences it. And inherently, it is not a sin. And we know that it's natural and that it can happen and it doesn't have to be a sin because God got angry. And it likely still gets angry. And Jesus, in his time here on earth, got angry. We read of God's anger in Deuteronomy in chapter 31 that the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, you are about to lie down with your fathers, and this people will arise and play the prostitute with the foreign gods of the land and into the midst of which that they are going. And they will abandon me and break my covenant, which I have made with them. Then my anger will be kindled against them on that day. I will abandon them and hide my face from them, and they will be consumed. And many evils and troubles will find them. So they will say on the day, 'It is not because our God is not among us that these evils have found us.'" And moving into Jesus getting angry when the temple was being disrespected in Matthew 21, that Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all those who were selling and buying on the temple grounds. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer,' but you are making it a den of robbers. Now, what's important from reading that passage is to not just stop right there. And without any context or without any forethought, you know, just hang on and don't go out and leave here flipping tables when you're getting angry, when you feel like you're taking up a righteous cause, so to speak. Jesus overturning the tables and God carrying out a punishment on his people from anger is because as God's people, we break the covenant that God has made with us and that Jesus fulfilled. You notice that immediately when Jesus has any display of anger or his anger is kindled, he turns it right back to Scripture and right back to God's Word and centers it, and that it is a righteous and fulfilling display of anger. There's a stark difference between anger being in the hands of God and Jesus, who are fully pure and fully holy, honest and full of love, and in the hands of men. And Paul talks about our experiences with anger and instructs us in a way in the scripture reading that we had. He tells us, be angry, but do not sin. And don't let the anger, or don't let the sun go down on your anger, for it gives the devil an opportunity. And what can seem contradicting on in chapter 4 is verses 30 and 32, that do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. All bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander must be removed from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. See, there's a difference in feeling a level of anger and taking it to God, and then, or letting anger rest in your heart within you, and letting malice and wrath and clamor build up, and that you might carry, you know, out a sin from anger if you let it rest. And because we read about this resting anger and what it can do to our hearts in Ecclesiastes, that be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of fools. And unfortunately, as we go throughout our lives and we certain things happen that stir up anger, we don't always handle it the best. We let it build up, we let it rest, and it can make a fool out of us. So we have examples of this from scriptures. And the first comes back in Genesis. It's somewhat the first account of a visceral resting anger that we're given in the story of Cain and Abel. And in Genesis 4, starting in verse 5, that but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard, talking of God in reference to Cain's offering. So Cain became very angry, and his face was gloomy. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why is your face gloomy? If you do well, will your face not be cheerful? And if you do not do well, sin is lurking at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. And Cain talked to his brother Abel, and it happened that when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. So we know the story that Cain had not given his best to God and hadn't delivered an offering that was suitable. And instead of heeding God's instructions of letting that anger go and harnessing it and using it for good the next time to inspire him to do better in his next offering, he instead internalized it. He let it rest. And it made a fool out of him that he thought that he could somehow outwit God. And we know the story of him killing Abel and burying him and trying to hide it from God and the ruin that it led for him. And it, as we let this anger rest and when we misuse it, it takes, just as it did Cain, our eyes off of this heavenly mindset that we need to have to walk in a manner of which we've been called. You know, there's We likely know someone that we work with, or an acquaintance of some sort that is a worldly person. And they're portrayed in media quite a bit as well, that they're bragging about their anger, you know, in a way that, you know, you wouldn't want to see me when I'm angry, or you wouldn't want to be on my bad side. And as Christians, there's times that I've heard stories that we would tell, and I've been guilty of it myself before as well, that, you know, you're recanting how you went through the struggle or someone wronged you, and we'll lead with, well, you should have just seen me. There was steam coming out of my ears. I was so mad. You wouldn't want to mess with me on that day. And is that the portrayal that we want to have? Is that a Christian mindset? I often think of those times when I was angry and when I let the pot overboil, my temper go off, and I thought, if someone was watching me in that moment, or if someone happened to be curious about God, they're not going to come to me. Because they're either going to think that that guy is just a hypocrite, or he's going to be so mad about some sin that I've done that I can't trust him. And it's disheartening to think about that and how dangerous the anger can really be. And then we also, throughout our lives, other people or ourselves, we make a lot of excuses for anger. We use genetics a lot. I come from a Scotch-Irish background, right? Land of angry people, apparently. We have a great capacity for anger, which I've seen from a few of my relatives and myself. But just because you're from a certain place or you have a certain genetics, it is not just the way you are. That does not influence how you should carry yourself, or that God has just written your anger off, but it's okay because, you know, you're of that particular European descent. And there's also no room for trading off anger. That when someone comes at you with some sort of malice, there's no room for a tit-for-tat mentality. And we read about that in 1 Peter, that to sum up, all of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, loving, compassionate, and humble, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for your very purpose, that you would inherit a blessing. And we have other accounts of turning the other cheek, to treating any sort of malice or anger with kindness and with love. And that's exactly what Peter is writing there, that if we all are working and striving to let anger go and not let it rest in our hearts, how better off would we be? So there's certainly ways that, and strategies that we can use to be better. And this first one can be a triggering sort of point. Because when someone is angry and you're trying to talk them through it and work with them, it can be extremely hard for someone to hear just simply let it go. Even in the vehicle, when I've been cut off or someone's just driving way too slow, and I need to get to work and I'm behind and I'm getting frustrated. If Savannah happens to be in the car with me at that time, you know, it's, she generally is very good at helping center me that it's okay. We're going to make it. Let's just be safe. Let's back off. And sometimes in my not finer moments, that's hard to hear. You know, that then that anger, if I let it rest, I can take it out on her. And that is certainly not what God would want. And there's just, when we really think and we really have a moment of deep reflection, there's just no reason to let any anger rest or move us to action that is not for a scriptural reason. There is wisdom in letting things simply roll off our backs. And we read about that in Proverbs, that in chapter 19, that a person's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is glory to overlook an offense. This is something that I I got lessons throughout my childhood without really knowing it from my father. There were many times that I had perceived an injustice against me. It harkens back to a lesson that I did on fairness when things just weren't fair. And I can think of one particular time that I was driving, and my dad was in the passenger seat. We were going to a Reds game, and they were obvious. Of course, they were doing construction on that bridge. So we were stuck in traffic. And the rain started pouring down. And so we had sat in traffic for about an hour and a half, and it came a flood, and we hear over the radio that the game had been canceled. So we had essentially sat in traffic for nothing, which was hard to hear. And then it's going down, multiple lanes are going down to one, and a guy cuts over and cuts in front of us. And I had had enough. I was mad. So I blow the horn, I'm getting mad, and my dad looks at me, and he tells me to stop. And for my dad to say anything is a big deal. So this calmness and this peace that he had and this ability, this discerning heart that he would be an example of could be extremely frustrating, but looking back at it, it makes all the sense in the world because it didn't matter. This anger was doing me no good. It was simply disrupting what was already a tough trip, but was just being made worse. And there is power in being calm and in having peace. And Solomon writes about this in Ecclesiastes in chapter 10, that if the ruler's temper rises against you, do not abandon your place, because composure puts great offenses to rest. We can think about this at work. Right? If we have a boss that tends to motivate through anger or yelling, it does us no good to return that anger, to yell and scream and carry on, but instead we're better off just taking it in, being peaceful, and coming back later with a cooler head. And this all points back to this heavenly mindset that we're called to have, and keeping our focus on Christ and centering and not having anger. And in Colossians we read of that therefore if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And perhaps one of the most powerful things that we have, aside from taking everything to God in prayer and praying without ceasing and laying our anger upon Him and letting Him harness it for good, we also have one another. We have a godly community and company that we can keep. And we've talked extensively, Landon taught a class about the church being community and relying on one another. And it's no different in the face of anger. It's much more difficult when you are surrounded by people who have this heavenly mindset and who just want to love one another and want to get to heaven by following Christ's example. Those people are a lot harder to get mad at. And we read about that in Hebrews in chapter 3, but encourage one another every day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We need to be with one another, interact with one another, love one another, and not be moved to anger. But we know that there are many dangers in this world that stir up anger and stir up malice, and some of them can even be a so-called righteous cause that we're so passionate and zealous about that it can even cloud our judgment, that we can be deceived that what we were doing is right. We're doing it for the right reasons, but we're doing it wrong, and we can still sin in those instances. And so essentially to close, I want to share a few things that certainly are hot button issues that are difficult to sometimes overcome a level of anger for, because we know that they're wrong. So I get angry whenever God's promise to us is misinterpreted. That a beautiful symbol in the sky that he had given to us has been turned into what it is now. For a lifestyle that is inherently sinful. That makes me angry. And it gets too much to deal with. I get really angry when someone misinterprets what's on the screen for a collection of cells. When they can't see the life that this is, and that each and every one of them has a right to that life. And sometimes, in moments where this becomes too difficult to bear with, and maybe I don't handle these feelings correctly, it becomes even more difficult to simply look in the mirror. And that's what can make us angry the most, is that we look back after a period of sinful acts or behaviors, and we can't let that go. We can't take it to God and pray for forgiveness because we're so mad at ourselves for letting it happen. But in any of these moments where we're stirred to anger, we have a decision, a choice that we can make. That we can let it rest in our hearts. We can let it build up. We can let it carry on. And it'll fill us with foolishness. And it'll harden us that we may not even understand what our anger is doing. And the devil will take every opportunity he can to push us further from God and more into sin. Or we have the option that we can take these feelings to God. We can pray that he would remove the malice and the bitterness from this anger. And instead, he could harness it, help us to put it into action for an opportunity to serve him. Those are the choices that we have. And one is abounding in peace and love and mercy and will keep us focused on a heavenly mindset. And one will lead to absolute ruin. Anger can certainly make us foolish over time and can harden our hearts. And it truly can lead to a point where it blocks our ability to even receive God's love. So the question that I would pose is, have you been letting the sun go down on your anger? Has it been resting in your heart? Have you been carrying out actions of malice that you don't really understand? There's a community of people around that would love to help, that would love to simply love you and to remind you that you can let that anger go. Or perhaps you haven't known God's love yet. We have an opportunity right now that you could come together with him, that you could approach his throne and say, I'm tired of being angry. I'm tired of carrying this around. I'm ready to put this yoke upon God that he can so easily carry and to live a life closer to him. If there is anything that we can do for anyone, please come forward as we stand and we sing.